The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, I ask that this morning there is a delivery of results. You know, words that have been hanging, they will now become a reality. In the name of Jesus, let answers come by the word of the Lord. Let answers come by the word of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Honor your word this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated. Who is ready for God's word this morning? Let's try it again. Who is ready for God's word this morning? You should have a shout. Are you following me? You should have what? It's not only because I'm doing whatever teaching I'm doing. It should be how you come to church. It should be how you come to church. You don't come to church and you're quiet and your voice is just right in your back. You come to church with a shout. Because I always tell you in this church, the shouting side is the winning side. Always. Always. So if you know you are winning, you shout. And you know, and I've tried to explain to you that every shout, you know, we don't, in church, we don't shout for nothing. One thing you must have realized is, never forget this, there is nothing we do in church that is for entertainment. There's nothing we do in church that is to ginger the atmosphere. No. No, there's nothing for that. I don't tell you to shout or rejoice just to keep the atmosphere hot. No, that's not the reason. If that's the reason, then we are wasting our time. We are just playing. Everything we do in church has a spiritual significance. Unless we are playing. And the church is not a place to play. Are you following me? It's not a place for comedy. It's not a place for jokes. And so when I ask you to shout, it's because every shout you give has its significance. I've explained that a couple of times to you. Every shout has its significance. Every rejoicing has its significance. And that's the truth. You see, the perfect example we like using all the time is Jericho. They shouted around that wall. They shouted down the wall. They shouted the wall down. You know, the Bible tells us that in the temple of God, everyone there shouts glory. Every shout has an implication. It has its relevance. And so, every time you come to church, you must come with a voice ready to shout. Are you following me? Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
So let me find out how ready you are for the word this morning. So let me ask the choir, everybody in this row, are you ready for God's word?
Yes,
sir. You guys are energy overboard. Okay, let me ask the middle row. Are you ready for God's word this morning? And I see the lamb walk for work quiet. Praise God. Okay, let me ask this row. Are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yes, sir.
The choir is still winning. Glory to God. Are we ready for the word of God this morning?
Yes,
hallelujah. We must be ready. It's not just to entertain or to excite us. It's because, I'll get to that this morning somewhere in the middle of this message. Amen. So this morning, Patrick Homologio, have you been getting blessed? You know, I really enjoyed the testimonies we received this morning. You know, the testimony about the debt that was cleared. It's part of what we declare every Sunday in church. And I celebrate these testimonies because they are, this particular one, most of these testimonies I'm directly involved, you know. And the money she was owing was quite big. It was hundreds of thousands. And she had a Tuesday. By the time she was telling me, she had less than 1 week deadline. Amen. And just by God's word, I said, don't worry, you're going to pay it by the deadline. And the best part of the testimony is not that it was paid. For me, the best part of that testimony is the fact that as at 4 p.m. that day, she didn't have the money and she didn't chat me up. Well, she wasn't shaking. And that's the working of the spirit of faith. I get to the point. That's working of the spirit of faith. You know, sometimes I say, sir, they say, if I don't pay the money today, I'm dead. Who said so? I get to the point. You know, I like some men. I don't like say, in fact, you don't have a deadline. You have a lifeline. Nobody can kill you. What can you tell them is what? And that day, for the end of that day, by God's word, it came to pass. And I'm going to trust God for you. That same spirit of faith begins to work in you. That's what you need to settle issues. It's not about the money being paid. Because sometimes, because we don't work by the spirit of faith, even before the money comes, we already tensed up. We've already compromised and done many things and said many things we shouldn't have said. The good thing about this is that before she spoke to me about that, this same money issue has sent her to the hospital a couple of times because she was tensed up. And she meant what she was saying, had BP high, everything, because of debts. As I teach in this church, avoid debts. Though this one wasn't her fault, she didn't poro, okay, she did trade, and that's why some of you collect money to trade for people. Be careful, oh. Okay, I'm tired of this kind of story. Amen. Why you are not the market? So, amen. God help you. Give you wisdom. Hallelujah. Give you wisdom. Amen. So, homologio, part 3. Homologio is the Greek word for confession. Actually, in the Greek, I've explained it every day. It means to say the same thing. I've explained to you how that word came about. The word is homo. Homo means same. Logio is from the word logos. Logos is to talk. So homologio is to say the same thing. So homologio is like telling you, repeat after me. I get the point. And the Bible teaches that we must learn to confess God's word. And so confessing God's word would mean saying exactly what God has said. One of the things you must have learned in this series so far is that when we talk about confessing God's word, it's not about motivational speaking. It's not a positive confession. It's not saying, no, today is a good day, I'll make it happen. No. That's positive. You're just wishing yourself well. And I can tell you, it is okay to wish yourself well because, of course, you're happy, I wish yourself well. But when you begin to wish yourself well and you're not speaking God's word, it doesn't carry power. The power is in the word of God. Are you getting me? And so when you're confessing, you must be sure that the things you're saying, they are God's word. The first time I began to show you why and how it is necessary that you speak forth who you are in Christ. Things like you're righteous, you're blessed, you're anointed. Are you following me? You're forgiven. And I said on that first day that saying these things will not make you to be blessed. Saying I'm forgiven will not make you forgiven. Because you already forgiven before you said it. But I began to show you that when you begin to say those words, one of the things it does to you is that it keeps you aware of those things. And I explain to you again, it makes you able to walk in them. And you ask why? The reason is simple. Because when you begin to say those words are moving from your mouth to your heart. And then what was just knowledge in your head becomes conviction in your heart as you begin to say them. I follow what I'm saying? So you find out who God has made you. 1 John 2 verse 12 tells us that he has forgiven our sins. You find out, you begin to say them. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that we are righteous, we are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. You find out, you begin to say them. So you find out who God has made you, and you put it in your mouth and begin to say it. That's what you learned the first day. You put it in your mouth and begin to say it. If he says you're redeemed, you say you're redeemed. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. If he says you're redeemed, you say you're redeemed. If he says you're forgiven, you say you're forgiven. If he says you're righteous, you say you're righteous. If he says you're holy, you say you are holy. Whatever you see God's word say concerning you in Christ, you say it. And so it will be a sin for a believer to look at himself and speak about himself in a way that God has not spoken about him. So you see people, they think that being holy or being humble, and they say things like, well, for me, I'm only a poor sinner. No, we don't talk like that. You are not a poor sinner. Some people are saying, I'm only a poor sinner saved by grace. I still disagree. You are either a poor sinner or you are saved by grace. You have to choose one. Which one are you? Saved by grace. So I'm a poor sinner saved by grace. Grace, you don't realize that when you came into Christ, the Bible said, whosoever is in Christ, anyone in Christ is a new creature. You said all things. So there is nothing like your past again. Are you following me? You a brand new person. The way that person in the Greek, it's a species, a new kind of species, a species that has never existed in the past. Never. So there's nothing like, No. There's nothing like that. People say this like, well, all of us are sinners. I hate that statement in the first place. All of us are not sinners. All of us are not sinners. You might be, I'm not. Are you a sinner?
Hallelujah. It says about the Bible says no one is righteous. I know that. But that same Bible tells us in that same chapter, you only read verse 10. That's Romans 3 verse 10. You read verse 10, but the Bible says there is no righteous, no, not one. And you stop there. Glory to God. Put it up. You stop there and you say, well, we are nobody's righteous. You are not righteous. I'm not righteous. We are not righteous. So what are we not doing in church? The church is a coming together of righteous people. A coming together of saints. Glory to God. That is not righteous, no, not one. That's where you stopped. But not to waste your time, I'll take you all the way to verse 20. Verse 20 of that same chapter. Verse 20, probably I can't tell that they can understand it. In case you don't understand King James, he said, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. That's what he meant by no one is righteous. The law simply shows us how simple we are. See the next verse, verse 21. But now, say now, God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law as was promised in the writings of Moses and prophets. Now, see verse 22. Read with me so that you can hear yourself better. Want to go? We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. So have you believed in Christ Jesus? If you have, you are made right with God. So no one is righteous, no longer applies to you. Before the coming of Christ, no one is righteous because our best attempt at righteousness will only amount to a filthy rag before God. But now Christ has shown us a way. Are you following me, church? We now have a way to be made right with God. And so you don't no longer say about yourself, no one is righteous. That's why you see, you must mind how you speak about yourself. The Bible said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. In other words, you shouldn't even know yourself. Don't look at yourself and say, oh, I'm just very condemned. I'm just, you know, I'm useless. You know, I'm this. And some of you think that when you begin to talk like that, you are trying to think and make God pity you. Say, God, I know I'm useless. I know I'm nothing. I know I'm just empty. I know I'm just a filthy rag before you. But please help me. Why are you talking like that? And I tell you what, that prayer will not be answered. It will not be answered. The Bible tells us the effectual prayer of a righteous man. So in other words, the revelation of your righteousness is needed in prayer. If you don't see yourself as a righteous man, you will not receive any answer. Are you following me, church? If you don't see yourself as a righteous man, you will receive answer. Come to God and say, Father, I know I'm not qualified. I am not worthy, O Lord. I am not worthy, O Lord. I am not worthy even to... Come on, you know the song. Let's do it together. Come. Even to do what? To mention your name. I always say this jokingly whenever I sing this song. It's a very crazy song to sing. You are not worthy, O Lord, to mention his name. You already mentioned his name, and he said you are not worthy to mention it. You should have dropped that a few minutes ago before you even got to that last part of even to mention. So I am not worthy, O Lord, you die. Because you are not worthy to sing to mention it. But actually, you are worthy to mention that name. Because you'll be made righteous and holy in him. That is how to talk about yourself. These are the confessions you take up every day. You don't wake up every day telling yourself, I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not doing well. Even God knows I'm not good. Why are you talking like that? I say the secret. Once you keep talking about yourself like that, that is what you're going to have. Because the things you keep saying about yourself, they finally form you. Say, I'm righteous. Say it again. Say, I am righteous. Say, I am holy. Say, God has redeemed me. I am not a sinner. I am a saint. I'm not a slave to sin. I am a child of God. You must know this and say it every day, every day, every day. So that the first day, the second day, I began to show you, you see, how you need to look out for what you want in life and put them in your words. I begin to say them every day. So you want peace. You wake up every day and say, oh, today peace is mine. Hallelujah. You want safety. You wake up every day and say, oh, safety is mine. And I showed you don't just say these things because you're thinking them. Go to the word and find out what the word said about that situation. Put it in your mouth. That's homology. You check your Bible, you see that the Bible says, oh, that healing is yours. You begin to say it, I'm healed. Listen to me, I am not the sick man trying to be healed. I am the healed discovering my healing in Christ. Should I say it again to you? I'm not a sick man. I don't care how sick you are now. But you are not the sick man trying to be healed. You are the healthy man discovering your healing in Christ. So that's what you talk about. Say, I'm just so sick. People say this like, this sickness is going to kill you, not me. Who said those things? The great woman of God said,
when very young in my Christian faith, I can't forget this story. How she died and came back to life. And guess what killed her? A simple sickness that she labeled my sickness. Every time it comes, she would say things like, ah, that my sickness has come again. It became a, because it had a, it was recurring. Say, sir, that my sickness has come again. It kept happening until all the prayers, it will go to come back. You know, she is claiming it. And what she says, God cannot say no to it. Words are spiritual laws. I get the point. So once you begin to speak, you're going to have them. But she kept saying, talking until she died. The brethren gathered and they prayed. One of the things the angel showed her when she died was her words. So you've been saying that this sickness belonged to you. And that's why we couldn't take it away from you. I get the point. And so what do you want out of life? I showed you that last week. You speak it. You speak about your success. Speak about safety. Speak about your, over your finance. You don't just step into your business and expect that things will be fine. You know, there's a proverb or an adage rather that says, if wishes, we are horses. What will happen? The guys will ride on them. This is the beautiful thing in this life, or the annoying thing about this life, is that wishes are not horses. And so what I'm saying is, if you wish that things will happen, they will not happen because you wish them. Things will only happen because you exert the needed power. Okay, let me do a little physics. You know, in physics, what is work? It's not the formula. Huh? The amount. I'm going to call some people. I'm going to call people like Pastor Izu. I'm going to call people like Evans, people that studied physics. I'm going to call all of you until you give me an answer. What is work? Huh? He says what? Hi, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Who's going to save us this morning? My brother, answer. What's work? Pastor. I believe in you. You know, you used to go to school. I strongly believe in you. Amen. What I'm saying is, if there is an object here, I want it to move. You know, it's not going to move because we just wish that it moves. Work has to be done. Energy has to be applied. That's how things are in the spirit. You're not going to have peace because you are wishing yourself peace. You're not going to have success because you wish yourself success. You're not going to have financial break. You're going to sell your goods because you wish, I just wish that today. Wow, I'm just imagining it like this. Somebody just run me one kind 10 million naira. We don't carry do anything. You're not going to have those things because you wish. You're just wishing. It's just your wish. And it's a good thing to wish, but this will not come to you that way. Because, life doesn't happen because you want it to happen. You see, you must make it happen. You must put in work. And that's work. Part of that work you put in, your words. Because it's when you are speaking that you are releasing the needed power to get what you wish to happen. Are you following me? And so you find out what God's word has said about that area, and you begin to exert the force. The force is the word of God. So I want my health well. I begin to say this like, He is the Lord that heals me. He sent His word, and He healed me from all my diseases. So there is no sickness in my body. Sickness is in my past. Healing is in my today. Health is in my tomorrow. Vitality is in my tomorrow. Wholeness is in my tomorrow. I don't suffer the sickness of old age. As I'm getting older, my eyes are getting brighter. As I'm getting older, my muscles are getting stronger. As I'm getting older, my bones are stronger. I don't suffer old age sickness. As I get older, I'm getting stronger. For the life of God is working in me. These are things you say. You say it all the time. You see, you wish them. They will not come because you wish them. They will come because you work them out. And you work them out by talking. That's why I told you when we talk, sit down for a moment. That's why I told you when we talk, we don't say things we wish. We say what God's word has said over the matter. So if I know what God has said about your safety, begin to say, safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. There is safety in my borders. The beloved of the Lord. Do you remember? He said, of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety. So I am the beloved of the Lord. I dwell in safety. So you just walk around saying those things. And you see, listen to me. That's why I taught you last week. You speak ahead of time. Don't wait for issues to come before you talk. I see it in the spirit as I'm saying it. When you begin to speak what's ahead of time, when that situation arises, the words you have spoken, they will stand up for you. Because you've been saying as well in safety, there was no need to cause for alarm, but you're just saying it. You've said a lot. When the challenge comes, what is going to happen? I'll show you that today a little. What is going to happen is, those words you have spoken, a bullet is coming at you. Those words will rise and deflate the bullets. You've been talking. I get the point. They will deflate the bullets because you've been saying something. You've been saying something. You've been talking. You've been announcing things. Jesus has been saying he will rise. Tear down this temple and build it in 3 days. Say the Son of Man will die after 3 days. He was saying it. He kept saying it until the day he now died. When he died, you see, every force in heaven and on earth, angels and demons, they had to work together to make sure that everything he said came to pass. You see, it's good to speak ahead of time. Don't wait for you to have a bad day before you begin to speak. You know, you can speak so much concerning joy that there will be no room for depression in your life. The reason why any small thing hits you, you are just down, you are just depressed. What are you doing with your words? You can say so much ahead of time. I can tell you what, I cannot be depressed. And I'm telling I can never be depressed. Me, I can't be depressed. There's no depression in my life. God has not given me depression. I don't have it. After all, the Bible says, Galatians 5 verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And if joy is the fruit of the Spirit, and I am of the Spirit, I have joy. So, every time you find depression, it's not yours. You know what I'm saying? It just came. The true nature of Henry has joy. And that's why I don't just know it. I keep saying it all the time. I have joy. I'm full of joy. I rejoice in the Holy Ghost. That's all for depression. You can say so much. You can say this like, I can never be stranded. At every point in my life, help will come for me. Never be stranded. There's nothing like deadline around me. Nothing like that. I have never been stranded. I'm not ready to act Nigerian movie. Where you're living in a house, you get so stranded, they now throw you out of your house, you carry your load your head, looking for you to sleep. You are not supposed to ask that movie. That, you can't be stranded. At every time help will come. What you don't realize is this. Before any challenge comes, the solution is waiting. For people that have worked it out, before the challenge comes, the solution is there. So I work out the solution before I see the problem. Say amen. So you speak God's word and a lot and a lot and ahead. So that's what we've learned all the while. So today I'm going to just continue from here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to start by letting you know that God's word, the word of God is powerful. How many of you know this word? That is powerful. The word of God is powerful. It can change things. In fact, I've taught you before. The reason why this whole world has not collapsed. The power holding this world, the power holding the sun up there is God's word. The reason why the sun cannot fall, the moon cannot collapse, is God's word. Genesis 1 verse 3, he said, let there be light. It was by his words that this whole world came into being. By God's word. Let there be light. Let there be this. Let the darkness move away from the light. Let the water bottle. He spoke. Genesis 1 verse 3. And God said, let there be light. Genesis 1 verse 6. Verse 3 said, God said, let there be light. Verse 6. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And it happened. Verse 11. Just quickly. Verse 11, you see, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. So how did grass come? God said, grass come. Grass came. That is the power of God's word. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And then, that's why there is rainy season, that's why there are dry seasons, that's why there is night, that's why there is day. God said, verse 20, and God said, let the waters be filled abundantly, the moving creature that had life and fowl, that they may fly above the earth. So, he spoke to the waters to bring forth moving creatures. So it was the waters that produced fish, whales. God told the water to bring forth living creatures. Are you following me this morning? That is the power of the word of God. Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind. Let the earth. It was the earth that brought forth living creatures. Cattle and it was the earth. God spoke, it came. Are you following me, George? That's why of God it is said that he called those things that be not, as though they were and they come to be. You see, God's word is powerful. It is powerful. By the time you now get to verse 26, he made everything and God said, let us make man. So by his words also, he imparted the nature of man into him. I'd like you to see something, friend. It was his word that brought this whole world into being. That's why by the time you now get to chapter, to verse 31, it now tells you, and God saw everything he has made. So verse 4, verse 6, kept saying, God said, and verse 31, and he saw. So he said so much, and he saw what he said. So God's word is powerful. Whatever he says comes to pass. I can even tell you that the reason why angels are powerful the way they are is because God said they should be like that. Hebrews 1 verse 5, he formed the nature of angels by his words. By his words. Say, for unto which of the angels said at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. See, which he didn't say that to an angel. And again, when he bring him forth to the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship. And I'll stop at verse 7. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers flame of fire. So, why are angels spirits? God said, who maketh. Now, let me explain this verse. Of course, you know, people say this like, God made his angels spirits and made his ministers flame of fire. Then I say, me, I'm a flame of fire. No, that's not what this verse is saying. Angel and minister is referring to the same person. And that minister there means servant. Angels are God's ministry spirits. They are servants. Are you following me? So, he tells us, he makes his angels spirits. He made his angels flame of fire. How did he do that? He said of the angels, he said. So, it was by God's word that he spoke the nature, the qualities, the strength of angels into them. God's word is that powerful. God's word is that powerful. You read the Bible, you read stories about how his words calmed the storm. Jesus was in the sea and things were going wrong. He just said, well, made a simple statement. Peace be still. The storm calmed down. That is the power of the word of God. He, by his word, he got to the tomb of Lazarus. And all he said was, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came. That's his word. And I always jokingly tell you guys, thank God Jesus go to that grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. Because if Jesus had come to the land of the dead and he said, come forth, everybody dead will come out. That's the power of his word. So he was specific. God is, his word is that powerful. So when God speaks a word, I said this on Thursday, I want to say it again. That's what it is. When God speaks a word, his word is as good as done. When God says a thing, that word is as good as done already. You see, when God says, I will give you a car, as far as the spirit world is concerned, you have gotten a car. Are you following me, church? God's word is as good as done. You know, we are looking at something on Thursday, if you remember. How that the work of redemption. How many of you are in church on Thursday? Let me see your hand. You see, that's why I should not miss it on Thursday. How that the work of redemption was finished before the foundation of the world. Remember that? The work, when I mean work of redemption, Jesus dying on the cross. The job was already done in Genesis 1. Do you remember that? We saw it on Thursday. Hebrews chapter 4. He said, from the foundation of the world, the work was done. Hebrews 4 verse 2 and verse 3. Verse 3 particularly. So, before even Jesus died physically, in your eyes, Jesus died physically in Matthew or Luke. But look at this. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works you have finished from the foundation of the world. And you see, John said the same thing again in Revelation chapter 13 verse 8. You see him talk about something in Revelation 13 verse 8. He was talking about the book of life. He said, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain from when? So, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. He said, sir, what are you saying? Jesus died in Matthew. Well, that is in your eyes. When God decided, when that meeting held and God has spoken it forth, as far as God was concerned, it was done. I get the point. His word is as good as done once it has been said. That's why, you see, God doesn't, he doesn't wish you well. God doesn't wish you well. When God says a thing, his word is powerful. Once he has said it, it's done. You know, if you read places like that, Genesis 1, that we read verse 3, you have YLT. You have YLT? Yeah. Put on YLT. You know, why I like YLT reading the Old Testament is one translation that took into, you know, that explained the Hebrew language. Because the Hebrew language, when God talks in the Hebrew language, he doesn't talk in the future. Verse 3, not verse 13. In your King James or NLT, all you see is, and God said, let there be. You get the point? Now, how the Hebrew language is light be. And light is, that's how, it doesn't talk in the future. So put up Genesis 12, verse 1. Watch, with YLT, watch this. He said, so, he doesn't speak in the future. He doesn't say, well, let there be. And God doesn't promise, he doesn't wish. And Jehovah said unto Abraham, go for thyself, go from thy land and from thy kindred and from the house of thy father unto the land which I shew thee. Verse 2. And I make thee. This I will make you. That's how the Hebrew language talks. Doesn't say, God doesn't say, I will bless thee. I make thee become a great nation and bless thee and make thy name. He said, what is what? He said, be thou a blessing. It's not you shall be a blessing. As God is saying it, it is happening. That's the power of God's word. I'm following me, church. So when God says, how you say it your own time is God said he will heal me. How God said it is you are healed already. When he says a thing is done. When he makes you a promise, you can take it to the bank. Because it's not actually a promise, it is done. As far as the name of the Spirit is concerned, God's word has gone forth and it will not return to him void. Are you following me this morning? And that's the power of God's word. I'm taking you to somewhere with what I'm just doing now. Look at verse 3. He said, I make thee. Glory to God. Verse 3 said, I bless those blessing thee. I who is dissenting, disesteeming thee, I curse. And blessed in thee shall have been. I like this. Blessed in thee have been all families of the ground. He didn't say shall be. Blessed in thee have been. I'm showing you. He didn't say, you know, put up like KJV of this verse 3. So you get what I'm saying? KJV said, in you shall all families of earth be blessed. And in it shall all families of earth be blessed. That's how KJV said, in you shall they be blessed. But look at what else he says. Well, that's not what God actually said. He said, I'm blessed in thee have been all the families of the ground. And follow me, church. So God doesn't actually make what you call promises of God. They are actually done deal. When God gives you a word, it's as tangible as the money in your hand. What I mean is, when God says, I'm going to make you rich, as far as it's concerned, you have the money now. His word is that powerful. So, this is actually true. But why I'm teaching this morning is this. Even though this is true, the fulfillment and the practical manifestation of these words may not come immediately. Let me even add, it may not even come at all. This is why I've started my teaching now. God's word is powerful. When he says a word, it's done. But see, he can say something to you and nothing will happen. And so you're contradicting yourself. Well, that's why you're in my church. So you listen. Say amen. Now, and there's a reason for that. I'm going to show you the reason shortly. But God can say something to you and it will take a long time before it happens. Even though in the realm of the spirit, before God, when he says a thing, it is done. But it can take long. Can I even say, it may not happen at all. And that's why I'm going to show you your role. The reason why it may not happen, why it's like that, is because, and I'll show you shortly, because man has a role to play in the fulfillment of prophetic words. Are you following me? Pay attention. You have a role to play before prophetic words are fulfilled. I give you many examples I've taught in this church. Daniel chapter 9 verse 1. Daniel said, and I, Daniel, understood, go back to King James, I, Daniel, understood by the books. See verse 2. I understood by the books. whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. You know what he was saying here? Daniel read a book. The book he read was the book of Jeremiah. And he saw in the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah prophesied the captivity of Israel in Babylon. And declared that they were going to stay in Babylon for 70 years. As at this time, the year for their freedom had come. But they were still in captivity. Are you following me? So God can say what? So by the word of the Lord, they should have been liberated that year. But that year came, they were still in bondage. And the reason is simple. Look at what Daniel did. I'll come to that shortly. Look at verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord and began to seek him by prayer. Because man will always have a role to play in prophetic words. If man does not play his role well, the words will fail. It's not God that failed. I'm taking somewhere with this. Are you following me? That's why people say this. Like, but that pastor said, did it happen? It didn't happen. The reason is because you always have a role to play. But I teach you no homology this morning. Are you ready? You have a role to play. I give an example. In Jonah chapter 3. Jonah got to Nineveh, verse 4. He got to Nineveh and gave a word. What word did he give? He gave a deadline when Nineveh will be destroyed. Jonah 3, verse 4. Glory to God. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he said, 40 days Nineveh shall prosper. So he was speaking, because he was speaking, those days, Lord, 40 days Nineveh. Of course, the people of Nineveh gathered themselves, did one or two things. Of course, they fasted, they prayed. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Quickly. And God saw their works, and they thought from their evil. And God, so God changed his mind. Say, it will not happen again. So God can say, now this is what the Bible says. But let's look at it practically. If it wasn't written in the Bible, if one of God comes into Enugu and says, thus says the Lord, in 40 days' time, this whole city will be brought down in ashes. To ashes. And all of us wait and wait. After 40 days, nothing happened. We now say, he failed. That's what you notice in chapter 4. Jonah was so angry with God. He told God, why did you tell me to come in the first place? Where you know you're not going to do it. What happened? It was a negative prophecy. The people that got the prophecy took action against that prophecy. And it didn't work. Let me say something that has been trending the time in Nigeria. I don't know this man of God. I have no business with him. But I just hope you're not part of that foolishness. I heard some students who are dragging a certain pastor for giving a deadline when strike will be called off. You heard that, right? Huh? That is the height of foolishness. It's the height of stupidity. And if you did that, you better repent from it. First of all, the man in question is not a student. So whether the strike is called off or not, you are the one at home. I get what I'm saying. Are you following me? You are the one at home. Whether he starts to, and notice he didn't even reduce the ministry, his church, or anything. Now, I'm not saying the man spoke by God's word. I'm not in his heart. I'm not. I get to the point. But you see, God can even say that strike will be called off tomorrow, and that day will come, and strike will not be called off, and it is not because God lied or that his servant lied. And you begin to see the reason. Imagine if you are in days of Jonah. And after Jonah finished bragging, imagine he put it on newspaper. Thus says the Lord, 40 days, Nineveh is down. We now begin to count for him. As it is coming, I didn't count down for him. It's many 7 days, so Nineveh is still standing. 3 days to go. One day, one more day, and that day, woo, Jonah, you failed. You see, and Jonah was angry. He got very angry. Oh God, I'm not even in for this trouble. He told God, that's why I didn't want to go in the first place. Because I know you're a merciful God. I know you're not going to do this thing. I know you just sent me to waste my time and waste my transport fare. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, you must realize man has a role to play. The change was simple. You see another one, Isaiah 38. Isaiah walked up to Hezekiah and told him, you are going to die. He said, prepare your house. 38 verse 1. Prepare, set the house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Hezekiah did not start fighting Isaiah, saying false prophet, prophet of doom, prophet of shame. No. Because you realize when God speaks, when you hear a word from God, and that word is negative, hear this and never forget it. God is not saying that that is what he wants for you. Are you following me? Let me explain it to you. If I walk up to you and I say, you see, in the spirit, I see a bad business deal. I am not saying that that is what God wants. I'm not saying God wants a bad business for you. I'm saying that this is what is about to happen for whatever reason. Maybe because you are not praying very well. Maybe because you're not paying attention to the leading of the spirit in your heart. I get to the point. Maybe because you're not paying attention. Maybe because you've been careless lately. Now, I am not saying that's what will happen. Neither am I saying that God wants it to happen, because God has a character. He's a good God. I get to the point. So it's not time to start fighting me and get angry with me. How can you say, no, no, chicken game, we're a bad business deal. That's so quick. No. Are you following me? What am I supposed to do with that? I go to the place of prayer. And I say in the name of Jesus, there is no bad business deal. You are not fighting my prophecy. You are fighting for your life. I get to the point. In fact, you are using the prophecy well. There is no bad business deal. I make progress. You speak and it will not happen. It doesn't mean my words failed. It means the prophecy fulfilled its purpose. Because the purpose of the prophecy was so that it will not happen. Did you hear me this morning? It's not every prophecy that God brings so that it will happen. There are some things that God brings so that it will not happen. That's why you are here, you're a prophet or whoever. And you say this, if I tell you any bad thing to happen to you, you're not doing your work well as a prophet. If I see something bad about your life, my job as a prophet is to tell you, make sure it doesn't happen, and help you to make sure it doesn't happen. So when Hezekiah heard that he was going to die, he went to the place of prayer and prayed. And God told Isaiah, go back to him. God tell me you will not die. That tells you that prophecies do not get fulfilled automatically. Man has a role to play before these things happen. You know, that's why you see this election period, next is the election year, people are going to prophesy and call names of who will be governor or whatever. Those names do not mean they must happen. Secondly, those names do not even mean that God wants it to happen. You know, I can tell you the next president of Nigeria by the Spirit. What I am not saying is that that is God's will for Nigeria. Who is following me at all? Are you following me? If I walk up to you, you've written your exam. You did not read for that exam. You answered only 2 questions. You're supposed to answer 8. You answered 2. And you come to on Sunday and I look at you and say, well, be encouraged. You're going to have an extra year, but the Lord will be your strength. I'm not saying that's what God wants for you. It is the consequence of your action. What God wants to do is to help you. So you see, God might have a good plan for Nigeria if the whole of Nigeria uses their BVC to choose the wrong person. That doesn't mean it is God's will. I can even see it by the Spirit that this is what is going to happen. I'm not saying that's what God wants to do or what God wants. Are you following me? God does not impose his will on man when it comes to prophecy. He doesn't do it. And that's why God can want you to succeed and you will fail. And that's not because God wanted you to fail. That's not even because the prophecy failed. It's because you did not know how to engage those prophecies. Are you following me? Should I show you my examples? I've showed you Daniel. I can show you delays. Delays like Abraham. Abraham at 75 got a word of prophecy that he was going to have a child. By Sarah. The child did not come till he was 100. How many years? 25 years after. 25 years. And you know, we look at it, and I always say this when I preach on this. We look at 25 years, just 25 years now. Calculate it. Let's assume he got the word in which year now? In the year 2000. When is he going to see the fulfillment? In the year 2025. 25 years. So prophecies can be delayed. However, it is not God's will, because when God has said it, it has happened. Who is following me? If you are in church this morning, say amen. I can even go further to show you the coming of Jesus, the first coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. The first time that word came as prophecy was Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. That was about Jesus. Yet, that prophecy was fulfilled in Matthew. Matthew, that was when it was fulfilled. Now, I'm saying all of this to say that when God speaks to you, it can be delayed. And if you are not even careful, it may not even happen at all. And that's not because God lied. And whether you go about saying God is a liar, he knows he's not a liar. I know he's not a liar. Are you following me? You see, what I say, God, nonsense. All this fall every year, they're telling us it's your year of this, my year of this. Where is this now? Look at this in September. You keep complaining. December is coming. And problem is, you can't do God anything. You can't paint God's name black. Say, God is a madman. God is, after saying all of that, God is God. And let me even shock you. If you are born again, he's living inside of you. And you can do nothing about that. Say amen. He has come to stay. He has come to stay. If you pray to him, he will answer you. You see, you think God is not petty like you. He won't even pick water. Somebody said, God does not exist. If God said he exists, he should kill me this night. And I replied, I said, you will live a long life. You know, see, God does not need to prove that he is God to anybody. I don't know who needs to hear this. God does not need to prove. You are forming a theism. He doesn't want to prove that he is God. He knows he's God. He doesn't have to say, God, show that you are God. No, he doesn't have to show that he's God. He knows he's God. The Bible says there is no other God. There is one God in this world. Are you following me? And so you better learn how to engage prophecy so you stop complaining. So when you get word from God, you must know how to walk with them and contend with them that they come to pass. And one of the major ways to do that, what I've been discussing this morning, is by homologio, by your words. That when God speaks to you, one of the ways to measure those words come to pass is not just to know them and write them. It is for you to take it from God's mouth, put it in your mouth, and begin to say them. It is as you are saying them that they will not happen. I will show you this in the Bible practically. Let me even run ahead of myself. A perfect example is Abraham. God spoke to him that he will have a child. He didn't have that child 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, around 99. God came to him again. I think that's Genesis. I wanted to talk about this later, but let's just do it now. But I'm coming back to that Genesis 17, verse 4. God came to him again after he had spoken to him about the child. He said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father. Now, start from verse 1. Let me show you this. Start from verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9. How many years now? 99 years. That's after 24 years of the prophecy. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Verse 2. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, see verse 3. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. I want to show you, 99, and thou shalt be a father. When did Abraham have a child? 100. So immediately after this encounter, he had a child. See what changed it. Look at. Verse 5. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, but thou shalt be called Abraham. So God changed his name. So why does that matter? I will show you the secret. He wanted Abraham. Abraham means what? Means. Now he wanted Abraham to keep saying what he has said to him. So he gave it to him as a name. So every time somebody say Abraham, say, no, I'm no more Abraham. I'm now father of many nations. The more he repeated that word went into effect and came to pass in 1 year. Are you following me, church? Every day, father of many, he can say it today. So you can imagine Sarah, you know, say, Sarah, how are you? Or Sarah and I says, Abraham baby. Say, no, I'm no longer Abraham baby. I'm now father of many nations. Eliezer says, Sir Abraham. Says, I'm not Abraham. The more he kept saying, calling his name, he was reciting God's word. He was reciting God's word. That is where, because it is by your, as you keep saying the things God has said to you, you are releasing force to make it come pass. I'm coming to that shortly. Attention. And so when God speaks to you, the things God has said to you, the destination should be your heart through your mouth. So you keep saying them. So when I prophesy over you, and as some songs we sing here, the song the choir did this one, the praise song, I've got strength by the word of the Lord. I've got peace by the word of his prophet. Prophet, he says he gets better and better for me. Supernatural strength. Keep saying those things. When I declare over you, it's not for you to just hear them and go home. It's for you to take it and begin to make war with them. Okay, let me put it this way. Every time I speak over you, I just give you money to trade with. And you begin to trade with them by words. Watch this. The first thing that happens when you begin to speak the words God has spoken to you, the prophecies God has given you, is that you begin to build convictions. What I mean is, you begin to put your heart right. Let me say a little about our hearts. Because before the word of God works, let me explain. God's word is a seed. Everybody pay attention to this. Even if I'm speaking this morning, it's a seed. When I prophesied to you, I gave you a seed. God's word is a seed. Now, what will determine whether the seed will do well or not is the soil. The heart of man is the soil. Are you following me? And so when I speak to you, I can tell 30 people here the same thing. And it will produce different results in all of them. Because of the condition of the soil. Just like you can bring a maize seed, 30 maize seeds, put it on different soils, and they will produce differently. If you put one in clay soil, and put another one in loamy soil, and put another one in sandy soil, which will do better? Now let's, you know, and even loamy soils, all loamy soils are not the same. There are lands that do better than others. And that's what Jesus was trying to explain in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 1. Where he talked about the parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow. And some fell by the wayside, some seed fell by the wayside, some seed fell in a thorny place. God went to verse 9. God went to verse 9. Look, verse 8 rather. I'm coming to this. But other fell into good ground. Now watch. There were some seed that fell on the stony, on by the wayside. These are people in church this morning who are not even hearing anything I'm saying. Are you following me? They are not even, nothing I'm saying is entering. I just hear, when his service is not ending yet, wayside. There are some others that fell by the, I'm saying, those ones that fell by the wayside, what happened? The fowls of the air will come and pick them. As I'm talking, Satan is picking them. Now, there are some that fell upon stony places. They sprung up. So these people just received the word. Yeah. They're just excited. But it's because it has no deepness of earth. The sun just came, it was there. So those guys, once they're done hearing, as they're leaving this place, everything is gone. Now, there are some others that it fell on a good soil, but that good soil had thorns. So these ones got the word, they even internalized it. But what are the thorns that came up? See what the thorns are, surely, I'm coming. The thorns, I'll tell you what the thorns are. Challenge, they just go out there, challenges come, people talk to them, and now things just happen. And those things choke the world. Are you getting the point? Different soils. The same world, different soils. Then some will now fall on good ground. Notice, even on that good ground, there will not be the same result. Some will have 100-fold, others 60-fold, others 30-fold, the state of the heart. Are you in church this morning, though? Let me show you where Jesus explained this. Go to verse 19. Because they let us sneak into his room and say, sir, we don't understand what they're saying. He began to explain to them, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, that is the wayside. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. So the guy is hearing me this morning. He's never getting anything I'm saying. He's possibly even feeling sleepy. He just wants to finish this thing and he will go home. And then we'll come and pick it. Now, that's why I say people that say, that was church. He was just there. People are saying, I was blessed. He's wondering why they're excited. It's not church where I went to. He that received the seed in this stony place, the same is he that heard the word, and anon with joy. So this one heard it and received it with joy. Continue. Yet had he no truth in himself, but endured for a while, for when tribulation, persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the tongues, is that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, they will choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. Now see where I'm going to. But he that received the seed into the good ground, is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So what will determine the result of the word is not the word. The word is potent. It is the soil, the heart. Are you following me? Are you following me? In other words, the state of a man's heart will determine the results of the word of God in that man. And that's why we normally say that your heart must be in the right place for God's word to work. And one of the ways to put your heart in the right place, before I even get to that, your heart must be in the right place. For instance, if your heart is full of fear, or full of doubt, or full of worry, I'm going to say everything I will say to you, it will not work. Once that word lands in your heart, there is so much worry, there is so much doubt, there is so much anxiety, it will bounce it off. Are you following me? That's why you see, James 1 verse 5 tells us, you know, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So, notice verse 5, once you ask, God will give you. Once you ask, God will give you. Everyone, he said everyone, he will give. Verse 6, let him ask if nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I'll stop at 7. Let not that man think. Which man? The man that wavers. Let him not think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 5 said, once you ask, God will give. Verse 7 says, some people will not receive. So God does the giving, man does the receiving. But the man that wavers, see verse 8, the man that wavers will not receive. A double-minded man is unstable. So once the heart is not in the right place, once the heart is filled with doubt, worry, unbelief, anxiety, the guy is just so tense. As the word is coming, he's saying, amen, no. He's afraid. He's in doubt. He's double-minded. So that word just lands in the heart and goes. One of the ways to keep your heart in faith is what I'm sharing with you, speaking God's word. The first thing God's word does to you is that when you hear it and you keep saying it doesn't begin to work first. It begins to work on you. It goes from your mouth to your heart and begins to form conviction. This is even why sometimes what God tells you can take time. Because your heart is not right. It's not ready for it. But you keep talking. You know, I heard Pastor Mara praying this morning. When we were praying, I said we should pray that our heart is in the right place. Sometimes I walk up to you and I say to you, see, this week, you're going to just walk into tens of millions. Now, no matter how much you shout amen, some people's hearts cannot even conceive it. Some people even laugh. You see that laugh? He wants it, but his heart is not ready. If he's going to have that in, his heart has to be set and ready for it. And it is by speaking. So, God tells me, for instance, some of you know that it's possible to live all your life from now as I'm talking to you, till the day you die, and you will not taste paracetamol. It's possible. But to some people, it doesn't make logical sense. What are you talking about? I mean, who does that? You see, he will not believe it. He will not have it. So if that guy wants to believe it, he can wake up every day and begin to say things like, I have divine health. You see, maybe God has promised him, I will keep you in divine health all the days of your life. He has to be saying it all the time. As he's saying it, those words are going to his heart, because once you are speaking, you are hearing it. He keeps talking, he keeps hearing it, he keeps talking. What is happening is his heart is getting prepared, his heart is growing to believe those things he has said. I get the point. His heart is becoming ready for those words. So if I walk up to you now, and I tell you something by the Spirit, or God tells you something in your spirit man as you're praying, or we declare something in church here, you keep saying it, as you're saying it, your heart is prepared. Your heart is getting set. Conviction is rising. What was just a thought or an idea in your head can settle in your heart as conviction. As you begin to say them. Are you following me, church? As you begin to say them. We declared, we say this move is for supernatural strength. Right? Now, you keep saying it. I'm strong. I'm strong. I'm strong in faith. I'm strong in faith. My health is strong. There is no weakness in my body. You know, you can say these things so much. And you see that brother that has always lived in the hospital. Gradually, he does 2 weeks without visiting the hospital. 3 weeks. 1 month. 8 months. He has been saying it. Do you know, there are people that come to me to pray for them when they are sick. And I refuse to pray for them. I put them through a regimen. Especially people that have suffered. Have you ever suffered any sickness for long? And when you are suffering, it's different people prayed for you and it did not work. Has that happened to you? Huh? Has it happened to you? When it, if it happens to you, one of the things it does to you, the more those people keep praying for you and it looks like it's not working, your faith is weak, being weakened. So even when next time they're saying, if you're sick, come out, you're just coming out for the ritual. So when they come, I'm not going to pray for them. I'll just pass them through, get this message, get that message, get that message, listen to it all the time, all the time, all the time, say it all the time. What I'm doing, I'm not saying those things will give them their healing. Their heart has to be in the right place. Even like I'll be screaming in their ear, you are healed! You are healed! And they're not healed. Are you in church this morning? Give me three amen.
Amen! Amen! Amen!
Aha. That's to wake some people up. Amen. Your heart must be in the right place. And so, you don't tell the person, you are healed. Maybe the guy has been receiving prophecies like, you are going to be a millionaire. He received it today. And if I like that, I'm telling you why it has not worked. He has received it so much and expected it so much and it failed so much in his thoughts. It failed so much that even next time he hears it, he still says amen to do the ritual. But he doesn't believe it. So that's why he needs to keep hearing that thing. And one of the ways to keep hearing it is to keep saying it to himself. Wake up in the morning and say, God said I'm a millionaire. Every day. Because that's what God said to you. You keep saying it. First of all, it doesn't go bring the millions. It's dealing with you. It's putting your heart right. Are you getting the point? It's putting your heart right. Your heart conviction is rising. Faith is rising. Your heart is being prepared to be that soil where the world will begin to do well. And that's why I can even tell you, always keep your heart right. That's why you must always speak God's word ahead of time. You know, you can so keep yourself in faith that once the word of God drops, it's fulfilled the next minute. Because your heart was already ready for it. And that's why I keep saying, speaking God's word. Everything God has said to you by prophecy, you must repeat to yourself all the time. In doing that, you are preparing your heart. It is settling in your heart. Hallelujah. You know, when God speaks to me, I say it so much that even in my everyday conversation, you'll be hearing it. Everyday conversation. You know, just once we get a word from the Lord, some of us have been here over the years when we want to change venues. Once the word comes that we are leaving the venue, you hear me talk about it all the time. Every time in the church, I will talk about it. When we leave this place, if you see, sometimes what we're saying, not even so that all the time we're saying it, we're not even seeing any hall. But I'm already telling you, if you see the hall, like I'm telling you, one of the things the Lord has said to us is that next year, we are getting our own land. And we are starting our own building. And I will bore you with it. I will keep saying it until I not only believe it, you even believe it. There are some of you here that by now you should have your own landed properties. But you are still living because God has even put it in your heart. Some of you, beginning of this year, God told you to happen. But as the year is coming to an end, you are wondering where the waiting day. Take that word and begin to say it to yourself all the time. Pace around, oh, my land is here this year. My land is here. See, I believe the time for property ownership has come. And I believe it like I know my name. Because when God told us as a church that it has come, I know that for you, it has come too. The time for that property ownership, it has come. And if you are ripe for it, you are going to have it in the name of Jesus. And if you are ready, if you are ripe for it, because some of you are ripe for it. You've done business with time. You know that by now, you've seen things. The time has come. And first of all, your heart will begin to believe it. Begin to believe it. See, don't give up on God's word, even if it's remaining 2 months. I don't know who has that word. Some of you, businesses, you should own them. God has told you. Keep saying it. Name the business. Say it to yourself all the time. What is the name of your business? It's still in your heart. It is a seed. Keep saying it. See that. Let me show you this. The word of God is a seed. Remember? And seeds don't grow until you sow them. And how to sow the word is to speak it. Seeds don't grow until you sow them. So you see, when God tells you, you see, I'm going to change your story. It will not happen. Let me tell you, it will not happen. Not because God's word has failed, but because every time God gives you a word, he gives you a seed. Now, whether you sow it or not, it's now up to you. Imagine I come to the church and I give all of you seeds of corn. Maize seed. And you go home and keep your own in your house. It's not going to grow. There is no problem with the seed, because a seed not sown does not grow. And so you begin to sow God's word in your heart. Conviction is rising. Faith is rising. Everything God has spoken to you should be in your mouth. You see, that's what he did to Abraham. The more Abraham kept saying, "My name is Abraham. My name is Abraham." What happened? He kept believing it. Just like I gave you an example that first day we started this teaching. What is your name? Whatever that is your name now was not your name when they gave birth to you. It was one day they called you that name. And then two things began to happen. People kept calling you the name. You kept calling yourself by the name. And then now nobody can even talk you out of that name. What if I tell you now that your name is not... Amen. Your name is not Rose. Even if I tell you, it's not Rose, and I even bring a baptismal card where they wrote that your name is Ukucha. Even if I show you, you say, "Chai, so how did they make mistake?" If you are still passing and I shout Rose, you will turn. You've heard it and said it so much that you can no longer doubt it. Are you following me, church? So Abraham, every kid, my name is Abraham. Whatever God has said to you should be a song. It should be a song. A daily song. A daily confession. You can say it all the time. You can say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm the healthy man discovering my healing in Christ Jesus. Woo, glory to God. There is no lack anywhere in my life. I can never be stranded. Every day. Till it becomes a part of you. You know it. Like me, I know I cannot die untimely. I know it. There is long life here now. I say it all the time. Every day. Amen. I've seen myself at different stages. I've seen myself at 50, at 60, at 70, at 80, at 90. I've seen myself there. I keep saying it. So, you notice, when you keep saying, your heart will be growing to believe it. There are some people, when they hear, that's what feel like that. People have died so much around you, untimely. And you've grown to lose faith in long life. I get the point. So when they say somebody died at 60, you say, I'll try now. 60? You've lost faith in long life. I tell you what to do. Begin to speak to yourself all the time. I believe in long life. He satisfies me with long life. Every day. You say it until it becomes something you can no longer doubt. So as I say those things, it's traveling to your heart. And a lot of things we learn from the book of Psalm. The psalmist always talks to himself. Always. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He keeps talking to himself. Because as he's saying those things, that it is God has said to him. But as he's saying them, there are certain things that he's believing them. Psalm 42 verse 11. You see the same thing. He speaks to himself. I laugh at 2 verse 11. Bring it up. Revete koroboteka. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. It gives my soul hope in God. Oh, hope is rising. You see it all the time. You can never be down. You can never. Let me say this to you. When you see here, you can say God's word to yourself so much. And you believe it so much that even when everything is not looking like it, you just know it. Are you following me, church? You just know that this thing will happen. You see, I know it's like I know my name, or more than I know my name. I can never be poor in life. Never. It's not that I know it. I've known it for a very long time. I can never be poor. I can never. I will own houses and own lands and own cars. Why? God has shown me. He has said it to me. He has shown me generations that needs to be helped. People that need help. So he can't keep me broke. And I've said it to myself. I so believe it. That even Satan knows that it is true. Because the first thing Satan wants to do is to talk you out of what God has told you. You see what he did to Eve? He came to Eve and said, did God say? Satan always comes at every word God has spoken to you. Did God say? That's why once you leave this place and I've given you assets. You know what I mean by assets? Words are assets. I've given you, seed. Whenever I give you assets, I give you words. What I gave you is a seed to keep sowing. And the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, it says, sow your seed in the morning and in the night, because you don't know which one will terminate. And that's the principle of speaking God's word. Sow your seed in the morning. Sow it in the afternoon. Sow it in the night. You don't know which one will terminate. So in the morning, you sow the word. Good things are happening to me. I have all I need. At every point in my life, my supply is bigger than my needs. Health is working in me. Life is working in me. I can never be down. He said, I'm blessed. I am blessed. He said, I prosper. I prosper. He said, I will not be weak. I will not be weak. He said, it's my year of supernatural ministry. I experienced it this year. This year, upward movement only. Sow the word in the morning. In the morning, sow thy seed. And even if we fall on thy hand, for thou knowest not thou whether thou knowest, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, whether they both shall be alike good. So you keep saying it every day. You say it in the morning, you say it in the afternoon, you say, it's a seed I'm giving you. So prophetic words are not just to be written down and celebrated, they are to be sown as seed. To be sown as seed. That's why I like the choir song this morning. The instruction this morning, holding firmly to your promise, the faith-filled word of God. I'm so assured in your promise. Oh, hallelujah. Your word is strong and mighty. And I like that part that says it fills every part of me. And that word came from Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And the secret is let. Allow it. So how to allow it? You hear it a lot. You say it a lot. One of the things I do, you see, whenever I go to a meeting and a man of God speaks over me, I get those words. I play them a lot and I say them a lot. Glory to God. So you speak to yourself. Everything God has said to you, say it. What I mean is you are praying now and you're getting words, you're writing it down. As you are writing, you are receiving seeds to sow. Don't keep your seed in your bag. It will not grow in your bag. Don't keep your seed in your notes. It will not grow in your notes. I feel like talking to somebody this morning. Are you following me? Don't keep your seed in your bag. It's not going to grow in your bag. You don't keep your seed in the store. It will not grow in the store. Put it into the soil. The soil is your heart. Take it up. Plant it. Plant it. Sow it again. Sow in the morning. Sow in the afternoon. Sow in the evening. Sow in the night. Sow it year after year. And it will grow. It's the principle of life. Seed time and harvest that will never end. So once you are sowing, you will reap. You're following me this morning. So once you are sowing those words, they will come back to you. You will reap them. And what will you reap? What will you reap? Exactly what you sowed. But not just what you sowed, you will reap much more than what you sowed. It's not a prayer, it's a principle. You put one maize seed into the earth, it brings forth many. So the things you are saying, they will come to you. So this one, what I'm going to ask you to do when the time comes, I'm going to ask you to be specific. Everything God has said to you. Because I saw in the spirit, words are flying around. I see a piece of paper containing words. Those things are words that should have come to pass. But I just hang in there waiting for people that will exert force. You notice, if this seat needs to move to that place, it should keep remaining here until somebody puts energy and moves it to that place. It's by your words. This week will be for fulfillment of prophetic words. I said this week will be for fulfillment of prophetic words. Every word spoken, you will see the results. I said you will see the results. I said you will see the results. I And it happens speedily. It happens speedily. There is speedy response now. There is speedy response now. In the name of Jesus. You will get the call this week. The call this week. This week. So when God speaks to you, because why it's going to happen is because as you are leaving this place, you begin to sow every day. You sow going home. You sow this night. You sow in the morning. So have you sown your seed today? It's not just talking about money. It's talking more about God's word. I get the point. You sow your seed today. You sow your seed in the afternoon. You wake up in the morning, you sow. Wake up in the night, you sow. You want to sleep, you sow. You wake up again. As you're talking with your friends, you are sowing seeds. Where they say, oh, well, this country is messed up. You say, no, it's not true. This country is blessed for me. You don't understand? The lion can never eat grass. No matter how bad the economy is. Never. Hallelujah. Sit down. So you are saying those things, it will begin to rise in your heart. Glory to God. I tell you one more thing. That speaking these words will do to you, the word God has spoken to you, it will begin to bring joy. I call this joy in your waiting process. You know, some messages are waiting for prophetic words to be fulfilled. But what is happening is they are not waiting well. They are waiting in anxiety. They are waiting complaining. They are murmuring while they are waiting. Most times it will not happen. But when you begin to speak God's word, that's what you're speaking. Notice every time you speak God's word, it's like it brings freshness of joy. It keeps you joyful while you're waiting. If you check like Luke 10 verse 17, you see when the disciples came back from the mission work Jesus sent them, and they returned to John and said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in thy name. You know this. In verse 18, Jesus began to, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In verse 19, he said, behold, I give unto you power, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all that. Verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In verse 21, he now said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank the Lord. So he rejoiced and began to speak. Every time you're speaking, you are releasing joy. That's the secret. So when you begin to speak God's word, have you ever finished that your talking? Do you have talking session? Speaking, you just finished that your speaking session in the morning, and somehow you just feel ready, you just feel happy, you just feel, does it happen to you? Just peaceful, just alive. It brings joy. So you can talk, and just go, ha 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 ha, keboya. You just shout. What is happening is you are keeping yourself joyful while you're waiting. The reason why people don't see their words come to pass is because they counter everything God has said by two things, murmuring and complaining. And how not to murmur is to speak God's word. Because as I'm speaking God's word, joy is rising, faith is rising. Most people just start complaining, why are things like this? Now wow. After now wow, you now go to prayer because in the name of Jesus, what are you doing? Speaking God's word keeps you joyful. It keeps you joyful and joyful. I get the point. Joyful and joyful. You are full of joy. So you keep saying it. You keep saying it. Every day just talking. You're just talking. The market is turning red. But you see, God told you that the end of this year, financially for you, will be better than the beginning. He told you. Now, if he has not told you, I am telling you what he said I should tell you. That the end of this year shall be better than the beginning. Now, if I finish saying it, and by December the market is very red, God did not say that through the market being green, blue, or yellow, or white, he will do it. He said he will do it. The market is not a factor. Are you following me? I mean, we are done talking, this week, this month, you're going to, and that same month, you lose your job. The job is not a factor. God said what he said. I wish you can understand what I'm talking about. It's not a factor. It's not a factor. It's say, oh, well, so how am I going to do all this? God said, I'm going to prosper and I lost my job. Did he say he will prosper by the job? He said he will prosper you. He has his own bank. He has his own currency. He has his own economy you're praised by. That's why I told you that the best part of that testimony we read is the fact that she said by 4 p.m. that day, she has not gotten the money. She was not shaking. That is when, you see, it's not, God doesn't want you to wait for him panicking. Panicking in anxiety, murmuring. All this is happening. Just hope, Jesus. What's the time? Hi. How are you like that? Why are you like that? Instead of you to do all of that, put God's word in your mouth. Begin to talk. Joy will rise. That's how we laugh in the storm. And this is literal. I laugh in the storm. But I've said so much. And I keep saying so much. Glory to God. When people that are close to me, very, very close to me, hear me talk about the things I need and that I'm going to get in the next 1 month, sometimes they assume I already have all those money in my account. Sometimes what I don't realize, sometimes I don't even have 80% of the money in my account. So that's 80. Sometimes I don't have 20% of the money. Sometimes. But I'll just be telling you, I'll be saying it. That thing I'm telling you, I'm not saying it to convince me or convince you. It's because I've said it so much in my prayer that it now comes up in my conversation every day. And someday, and very soon, it will just walk into my room. Woo, glory to God. It just walk into my room. So joy rises as you begin to speak God's word. Another thing that happens, and this is very powerful stuff, when you begin to speak God's word, is that when you're speaking God's word, and this is very powerful, you are agreeing with God. You are taking sides with God. And that's why I'm going to challenge many of you. You see, I said it at the beginning, God does not force his will on anybody. So when God wills something for you, you must will it for yourself. And one of the ways to will what God has willed for you is to say it. And this is a very powerful principle in the name of the Spirit. If God wants, I normally use this example all the time. Salvation. God wants everybody saved, true of us. Yet, everybody is not saved. Everybody will not be saved. Though we want all men saved, we reach out to all men, we persuade all men, yet we know some people will go to hell. And they're not going to go to hell by God's making or God's desire. They're going to go to hell because they did not cooperate with a gift God has given, the gift of his son. Are you following me? This thing I explained to you because salvation is a pattern for every other workings of God on earth. Salvation. Notice that in salvation, God gave ahead of the receiving. I follow him. So he gave man. So every time, now let me tell you, is it when you accept Jesus that Jesus died on the cross? Jesus has died many years ago. The day you accept him is the day you collected your portion. That's how the giving of God is. That day God told you, you are a millionaire or a billionaire. That's the day it happened. The day you agree with God is the day you collect it. The day he told you healing is yours, is the day it happened. The day you now agree with him, he said you collect it. And how to begin to agree with God is by talking. Because God will not force anything on you, he wants you to cooperate with him. He wants you to agree with him. This is why we talk about prayer. This is why we talk about speaking God's word. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5, we amplify, tells us, talking about the love of God, that it tells us that the God kind of love does not insist on its own way. So God does not impose things on you. God does not say whether you like it or not, you must have it. He doesn't say that. So when he says something, 13:5, not 14:5, when he says something, he wants you to agree with him. Are you following me? He wants your cooperation. He wants to get your consent. Because he's not a tyrant. Look at that. It is not considered arrogant and inflated with pride. It is not rude or mannerly and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It is not self-seeking. God doesn't say you must have this. So he tells you what he wants to give you. As a matter of fact, what he has given you. But he will not force it on you. You have to cooperate with him. And one of the ways to cooperate with him is by talking. Just like when we go for that, when we teach on this divine leading, when God tells you, see, I want to bless you, you say amen. And he says, well, you have to go there and do that business. You have to go there and see that brother. And you disobey the leading. You're not going to have it. It's not because God doesn't want to give it to you. You're not cooperating with him. And one way to cooperate with him is by talking. In speaking, you are showing that you agree with what God has said to you. So that's why you see, when God says something, say it. You're saying, I agree. In speaking God's word, it's your own way of signing the signature. God has written the contract. He has given you the stuff. He has signed to you or will to you 10 plots of land, for instance. Now, you will not have that land until you now pen down your signature on the contract. It is by your words that you are saying, okay, I agree. Are you following me, church? Just like when you go propose to a lady. When you go propose to a lady, you are coming with a ring. You want to marry the girl. That is exactly what you want to do. But you see, you're not going to force that girl into your house. She has to say, yes, I do. Are you following me? If she doesn't say, yes, I do, your offer of marriage is useless. Even, and in fact, I don't just say yes, I do. When you guys have now gotten to the altar, and pastor says, do you take Mr. Fan to be your lovely wedded wife, to love and to cherish his spirit and truth, and then Mrs. TV will now say, if Mrs. TV says, no, I don't, that marriage is over. It will not work. And that is how it is with God. So when God says, today, I make you a blessing, or he says, today, I'm keeping you in health, dealing with all your health issues, you must agree with him. It's your words. It's your words you use. And that brings me to the, that's why we talk about amen. That's why we come to church, you must have a lot of amen, because amen means you're saying, let it be so. So when I say, for instance, that you are blessed, and you know, or maybe say, I say, this week somebody is going to have that, and you don't say amen. Let me tell you, you don't have to say it. You are rejecting what I said. I showed you last week, there are two ways to be in unbelief. Do you remember? One is saying the wrong things. Two, not saying anything at all. That's why you don't come to church and you're silent. You don't have to say, I reject it. Once you do not receive it, you rejected it. Is that not true? That's true. Once you didn't receive it, you rejected it. So when you come to church, you see people who are always shouting, amen! They are not, if they're not acting, if they mean what they're saying, they're not foolish. You with all your big boy and all your packaging and all your fine gear, yeah, amen. Let me tell you, when you believe it, you will receive it. I say, I'm receiving it in my heart. Which heart? How does the word get to your heart? Imagine you are standing on this altar and I ask the girl, do you take to be your lovely wedded? And she just keeps quiet and says, well, I said it in my heart. There's no marriage, Joe. I hope you know that. You have to say something. That's why whether it is God speaking to you direct, you must repeat what he said. Where it is coming from me, you must give your amen to receive it. And then take it home and keep saying it. When you said amen, now let me show you a passage to explain this. Luke 1. Verse 35. Did I plan to read this? No, I didn't. But let's see. Just stay prayed up because we're going to pray very soon. Now, notice what happened. The angel came to Mary and told Mary, well, you're going to have a child. The angel answered and said unto her, because the Mary now asked, oh, well, how is it going to be? I know not a man. Now, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The angel was answering how it will happen. And part of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called. Now, what did Mary say? You know, God, it kept explaining to her, your cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived. See what God is trying to do. God wants Mary to bear Jesus. Mary, in verse 33 and 34, doubted it. Said it's not possible. Go to 33 and 34. I want to show you a principle of prophetic words. Verse 34. The man said unto the angel, how shall these things be? So she doubted it. I thought the angel was going to say to her, well, whether you believe it or not, it will happen. Bet me. No. The angel took time to convince her. Because that's why I was telling you the state of the heart. Because if the angel did not convince Mary, it will not happen. Are you following me, church? The angel took time to say, well, see what happened. The Holy Ghost come upon you. And it got to verse 37. I even began to show her. See, even, verse 36 rather, even Elizabeth has carried a baby in her old age. You know, began to prove to her. So when Mary was finally convinced in verse 37, he told her, with God, not shall be impossible. Just convinced her. Now, verse 38, see how she now proved that she accepted what God said. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. It was when she said that the baby entered. And then she said that she became pregnant. How did Mary have an intercourse with God? When she said, let it happen like you said. Are you following me? That's why you must have your mouth. If the angel has finished talking and Mary said, okay, she won't take it. So that project was so important to heaven that God, the angels began to explain to her, see, actually, the Holy Ghost come upon you, you know, the power of God shall overshadow you. You have a baby. Let me even show you something, Mary. Elizabeth, you know Elizabeth is old. She has given birth to. And so Mary was like, well, no, she's pregnant now. You can see her. She's pregnant. She's your cousin. So, you know, verse 37, you know, with God, not impossible. Just convince her. She said, okay, let it be unto me. That's how to respond to God's word. At the point where you are convinced, that's why I tell people, don't throw your amen up and down. Any prayer you don't understand, don't say amen. You just go to somewhere and they mutter anything, whatever, they say, amen. Amen is I accept whatever you're saying. See, are you following me? It's I accept what they're saying. He said, dust are you. Dust shall you return. He said, amen. Glory to God. Say, I'm blessed. Because you are the highest, you are the first prophet over your own life. So what I am doing when I prophesy over you, you must accept it with your amen. Your enthusiastic believing amen. Whether it should be loud, it should be low, but make sure it's coming from your heart. Because once your heart believes, amen. Notice Mary did not say, that's why I like this story I just shared with you. Mary did not just say, when they say you shall carry a baby, she not just say, amen, no. No. She had to ask someone, the guy was going to say, how will it happen? I don't know the man. Then the angel convinced her. She said, oh, wow. Okay, fine. Amen. Are you following me? When we bless you, you receive it with your tongue. Hallelujah. So when I say you are blessed, what do you say?
Amen.
Yeah. When I say this week, you will have multiple good news. What do you say? That's what you say. And I can tell you this week, multiple good news. There will be no reason to cry this week. Except it's for tears of joy. No reason to cry. No reason to cry. Hallelujah. And I tell you what you are looking for will be found when you least expected it. I just heard that from God. I just heard that from God. I don't know who I'm talking to. What you've been looking for will come when you least expected it. You will wake up like every other normal day, and that thing is waiting for you already. Be it unto me according to your word. Glory to God. See what NLT said? Mary said, may everything you have said about me come true. She agreed. So even the words of an angel was not as powerful till Mary agreed. So it's not a question of whether your man of God is anointed or not. It's a question of whether you are ready to cooperate with what he's saying. I have to share this story many, many times. You know, I pastored a couple of law students some years ago. You know, many of them, they were about 8 or 9. And all of them graduated the same year. And I gave a word of prophecy. And I said, all of you will go to law school this year. Not one of you will be delayed. And when I gave that prophecy, all of them went, remaining 3. And then one of them told me she doesn't actually want to go this year for some reason. I said, fine, you don't want it, it will not happen. Remaining two, one of them began to complain, nonsense, you know, the man of God. She didn't tell me, she told somebody. So the person told me that the lady said you are fake, that you spoke and it didn't work, but she has not stayed long in church. That's like 1 month or 2 months. I said, well, go tell her that her mates are in law school. And now I'm going to tell her that her mate's already in law school by the same words that she called fake. And thank God for that lady. She took it personal and began to engage. That same week, another list came out. She was there. It has never happened before. That same week. I get the point. So it's not enough to say, oh, the men of God, the scam, church and a scam. That same thing you are calling scam is changing people's life. That's why it's good to say to yourself, I don't have a coconut head. Words walk on my head. Oil walk on my head. You know, it's not, how can anybody be testifying? You know, the pastor said this and you are just there. Now, wow. They swear for you. You have your amen. Mary said, let it be according to what you have said to me. That moment. So I agree with God. I agree with God. I think I should begin to wind up. Are you getting blessed? See, now for the moment, I have like, glory to God, I have 15 more minutes. But I want to take more. I love the word of God. I love the word of God. I can tell you, something is happening to you as I'm teaching. So when you begin to speak, when God says something to you, you say it to yourself. One other thing it does is that as you now begin to say it, that word begins to work on whichever person or object or anything concerned. For instance, if God told you are going to prosper financially and you begin to say it, those words you are speaking now, we begin to travel and work on maybe whoever is meant to patronize you, whoever is meant to buy from you, begins to change the person's heart. God's word begins to work on that particular object. So you see the way Jesus will put it in Mark 11:23. He says, if you shall say to this mountain, so you begin to talk, your word begins to affect whatever object involved. Whatever object or person involved. You see the way Jesus told Peter, he said, go to the sea, Matthew 17:27. He said, open the first fish you're going to catch, open its mouth. Now you ask yourself, how did that money go there? Immediately that word was spoken. There are two things involved. Either there was no fish that had money in its mouth. When the word went forth, the fish had to deliberately go and swallow money. Not swallow, put it in its mouth until Peter caught it. Or maybe the fish already had money in its mouth. By the words of Jesus, he made sure that the hook Peter was going to throw in, that it is that particular fish that it will catch. That's how the word of God works. Are you guys following me this morning? So when you begin to speak those things, you are working out something. One of the things you begin to do, it begins to impact even the hearts of people. You're a pastor, God says to you, I'm going to give you a mega church. This year, you're going to have a church of 800,000, whatever he says to you. You begin to talk. The more you're saying it, words are traveling to people's hearts. Somebody will just say things like, well, I'm just passing here and I just thought, I said, well, I just felt like entering. And I entered and I stayed. What's that going for? And I tell you, related to this, the next thing that begins to happen now is, those words now begin to work on angels. And this is one of the most powerful parts I'm going to make to them to close. Those words now begin to work on angels. Because the things that happen on earth are spiritual. Angels work things out. And hear this and never forget this. Angels work things out. You see, angels are real. I don't know if angels are real. Angels are so real. Who has ever seen an angel physically? I'm sorry. Angels are so real. I mean, they can appear to you as human beings and do things for you. And you turn back and they are gone. Who has ever been lost in the middle of nowhere here and was about to get missing? And somebody came from nowhere, directed the person, and you turn back, you didn't see the person again. Has it ever happened to you? It has happened to me many times. You know what I mean? I know what I mean many times because me, I don't used to know anywhere I go to. I can go to somewhere 5 times. I still don't know the road to the place. I've shared this with many times. One of those days when there was a robbery somewhere. Somebody intercepted. I was about to enter the bus. The person kept saying, don't enter this bus. I said, why? I don't know him from Adam. He said, Pastor, I know why. I know why they tell you. It wasn't looking spiritual. I said, why? He said, don't go there. If you get any friend around this area, go. He doesn't know me. I don't know him. It was my first day in school. Can't forget it. He was looking rough. It's like, don't go there. I kept his, some of you that know Abuani very well, was around Umuese Junction. He was telling me, I lived at Obedem. And there was a robbery taking place at school gates. I didn't know. That lodge, there was a lodge in front of that place. So the guy kept insisting, don't go. Don't go. I said, why? See your business. I said, guy, free me, I beg. And you know, thank God for the Holy Ghost. As he kept saying, don't go, don't go, I pushed him away. So he just stepped back. And the Holy Ghost ministered to me. He said, why not listen to him? I sent him. As I turned back to now start going to pass the night in my friend's place, police arrived. Arrested everybody. I'm not joking. They were seeing a match there or something. I don't know if I'm still there now. Like a viewing center also at that point for match and all that. They arrested everybody. I'd left. So when the policeman saw me moving, he said, good evening, sir. I'm going to. He said, okay, pass, pass, pass. I then found out there was a serious trouble in that gate. The guy made sure I stayed there, delayed me. Bosses will come, this guy will engage me. Don't go. I get the point. God can go the extra mile to keep you safe. And by the workings of angels, yeah, but this is physical. Sometimes without even seeing them, I've heard testimonies. I've been reading those days when I was younger with a lantern and I slept off on the bed. You know this kind of reading where I slept off, the lantern fell from the seat, fell on me. There was kerosene all over the bed. It didn't burn. Funny thing was, I woke up and I saw the lantern standing in this place. My body was soaked with kerosene. Angels walk. They are real. I've had testimonies of people who put food on fire, forget it, and go and sleep. Wake up in the midnight thinking they've burned down the house. They got there, the fire is off. And I still gas. I get the point. Angels walk to deliver. Most times when you're driving on the road and they say, oh, the car now wanted to hit, and now did beep, beep, boom. Sometimes an angel just shifted something by itself. Are you following me this morning? He said, the car wanted to hit me, and I now jumped and jumped. Hey, small thing. Jumper. Toby Amusa. Abi, you see, was she again? Does she run? Does she jump? No, it's a broom, it's one that jumps here. Huh? You don't know, I don't know, we are fine. So, you notice, God sends his angels to keep safe. Even provision, God sends his angels to provide for you. He can go as far as telling somebody, an angel can go meet somebody that you don't know and tell the person to go and give you something. It can happen. But see the secrets. Angels don't walk, even if God has sent them, until you talk. It's a powerful secret. Psalm 103 verse 20. Put it up quickly. 103 verse 20. Revo de Kadesh. Bless the Lord, ye his angel, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So it is the word of God. The voice of the word of God. Pay attention, that angels hearken to. So there is the word of God. But when you now give that word a voice, angels will walk. I always ask you this. Why do you think Jesus was crucified? Yes, not one angel came to help him. Not one. He told us why. He told the guys, do you not know? I can ask my father and he will give me 12 legions of angels now. He said, but that the word of God be fulfilled. So Jesus did not, angels did not come to help Jesus because he did not ask God to send the angels. He didn't talk. If Jesus had said, oh my God, deliver me and save your servants, 12 legions will arrive. So he just wanted scriptures to be fulfilled. He let it. Many people die many people don't have their prophecies come to pass. Because there are angels that are waiting to begin to act and rearrange things and touch circumstances and touch men's hearts and push dates forward and change the deadline. There are angels who need to do all of that. But nobody is talking. They are wishing. They've written the prophecy in their book and they're looking at it and say, You are reading. It's not going to happen. Angels, I just feel in the spirit, angels are waiters. Waiters don't bring anything you do not order. I'm just waiting. May I take your orders, please? I want to have your orders. So when you begin to talk, angels are going to get those things to work. That's why you don't stop talking. The more you are talking, the more you are getting angels. So you say, don't you know I can ask my father and he shall give me more than 12 legions of angels. So Jesus knew what was available. It was because he did not talk. Elijah in the Old Testament, they had people surround them. Soldiers surrounded them. His servant was afraid. And the servant came to him and shouted. He said, Father, please open his eyes, let him see. And that's why you don't need to see angels, you know they exist. They're around you. His eyes was open and he saw chariots around them. But notice those chariots were there, they didn't do anything. But Elijah commanded those men to become blind. I get the point. All of them went blind immediately. Because angels are just, angels can stand around and are watching and you are going down. Why? They can't invade your will. If God cannot invade your will, angels can't. So they want you to say something. I get the point. God has given you a word. They are not going to be houseless. You're not going to be homeless. You will get a house. He has given you a word that in the next 1 year you're going to be married. He has said those things to you. Now it's not time to just say, I used to share this story with you. Many years ago, I went to preach somewhere, a very small meeting. Those days, very small as about 8 to 11 people, just very small. Women, it was a village, an Osoka village. And I went there to preach and I was sharing testimonies with them of all the mighty things that God did in other places I've gone to preach, and that this night is going to be powerful. Guess what that woman sitting in front seat? She shouted, I ain't got no man. You know what that means? We there and I with a watch, make we see. Such unbelief. you have talked plenty. Oh yeah, nah. And he got none. You know, such unbelief. And you see those words, you see, words of unbelief and doubt, they keep angels far from you. So, but when God has spoken to you, angels are waiting to act on God's word. So give it a voice. Give it a voice. Give it a voice. Are you getting the point? Give it a voice. Keep saying it from now to December. We've seen it every day. That's what God told you. Every day. You know, Pastor Prince, I shared a story with this service, right? How he had a growth somewhere in his body. He said every day he would talk to that growth. In Jesus' name, you are no more. He said he wasn't even checking where it was going. He said he was saying it though until one day God told him, I checked the growth now. And actually it was no more there. He said, oh, you are still not there. You have to be stubborn with God's word. I keep saying, if God has said it to you, be saying it every time. Angels are working on it. You are sick and you've been praying. It's not going. Keep talking. I'm healed. You keep saying it. What is happening? The more you're saying it, they're working. Angels are working on you. Surgery is being conducted. I've seen supernatural surgeries. I'm telling you. When somebody goes down, that was supposed to go for appendicitis, whatever, and they went to the hospital, it was gone. I have seen this thing happen many times. Hallelujah. Right then, this was, we've seen someone that needed a bone marrow transplant. And angels worked on her and changed her bone marrows to brand new bone marrows. We've seen this thing. We've seen cases where they say, oh, this kidney is damaged. And angels will work and create new kidneys and replace that one. I believe in the power of God. As you must keep talking. And I just said it in my spirit. You are not going down. I don't know who this word is for. You see, but you are not going to go down. Some of you, you've made some bad choices. I'm seeing it clearly now. You made some bad choices in the past few weeks, past few months, and it looks like this is the lowest. This is the end. You are not actually going down. The only way from here now is up. Because the Bible tells us, even the lawful captives shall be delivered. I mean, the people that walked into the mess by their own doing, God will come through for them and bring them out. For even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they are there to comfort me. I fear no evil. I fear no evil. Rebo Kadash. I fear no evil. I fear no evil. I fear no evil. There's a Mare Deva. I fear no evil. In Kroventi Radish. Lode de Bosha. So I want to close by saying to you, keep saying all God has said to you. And I teach you one thing. Speak how God speaks. God does not speak in the future. God speaks in the now. God does not say, I will bless you. God says, I bless you. So when you are saying, don't say, God will bless me. Say, God has blessed me. Woo! Hey, Gabash. You are still sick. But God has promised you health. Don't start saying things like, I know I will be healed when my healing comes. No, come on. Your healing is here now. I'm healed now. I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healthy discovering my healing in Christ. I'm healed right now. I'm healed right now. I sense the power of God strongly as I say this. I'm healed right now. I'm healed right now. I'm healed right now. I can never be broke in my life. I have never been broke in my life. Because right now I'm rich. I'm not the poor trying to get rich. I am the rich discovering his wealth in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. I am not the weak trying to get strong. I am the strong man discovering my strength in Christ Jesus. I'm waxing stronger and stronger and stronger. This is not the end. This is not the end. Say to every barren woman you know that there shall be no barren in the land. You know what that means? That means you are not a barren woman trying to have a child. The Bible said there shall be no barren. It means in this land there is nobody that is barren. You don't get it? There is no barren woman anywhere in the world. There are only women who are yet to conceive. And their time of conception has come. I can only put it. You know, let me say this to you. If God says to you that you are going to go abroad, as far as God is concerned, that day he said it, you are abroad. So there's a way to talk. There's a way to talk. My visa has come. It works well for me. And the money is here. The money is not a problem. Hallelujah. Are you getting the point? Somebody needs to know that God has spoken to you. Somebody needs to take those things God has said and put them in your word. By them, you war a good warfare. There is no barren in the land. I don't know who this word is for. There is no barren in the land. There is no barren in the land. There are no feeble hands. No feeble hands. No feeble hands. There is no hand that is unproductive. No hand is unproductive. Your hand is not unproductive. Hey, kaba, tera, bata. No hand transmits death. Every hand in this place transmits life. What was dying around you will now come alive now. You say, stand to your feet if you're still sitting. Let's do this. So, you take the words God has spoken to you. Maybe now, maybe before, this year. Whoosh. Think about them. Bring them out to your notes or whatever. Holding firmly to your promise. Whoosh. We chant that song like 3 times, then I'll leave you to declare those words.
I believe your word for me.
Beat again. Hold
holding firmly to your promise. The faithful word of God.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
Say, I believe.
I believe your word for me.
Say, holding firmly to your promise.
Holding firmly to your promise. The faithful word of God.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I believe your word for me. Sing.
I believe your word for me.
Say, hold it firmly to your promise.
Hold it firmly to your promise. The faithful word of God.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I believe your word for me. Sing.
I believe your word for me.
I'm holding firmly to your promise.
I'm holding firmly to your promise.
The faithful word of God. Sing.
The faithful word of God.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I believe your word for me.
Again.
I'm holding firmly to your promise.
I'm holding firmly to your promise.
The faithful word of God. Sing.
The faithful word of God.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I believe your word for me. Sing.
Oh, I believe let's your word for me.
Holding firmly to your promise.
I'm holding firmly to your promise.
The
faithful word of God.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I believe your word for me. Say,
oh, I believe your word for me.
I'm holding firmly to your promise.
I'm holding firmly to your promise.
The faithful word of God. Say,
the faithful word of God.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I believe your word for me. Say,
I believe your word for me.
I'm holding firmly to your promise.
I'm holding firmly to your promise.
The faithful word of God. Say,
oh, the faithful word of God.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I believe your word. I believe your word.
I believe your word for me.
I'm holding firmly to your promise.
I'm holding firmly to your promise.
The faithful word of God.
The faithful word of God.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe.
I believe your word for me.
I'm holding firmly to your promise.
Holding firmly to your promise. The faithful word of God.
Are you assured in all his promises?
I'm so assured in all your promise.
I believe your word. I believe your word.
I believe your word for me.
Lord, I believe.
Oh, the prophecies must come to pass. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe.
Come on.
Oh, very word for me.
yes, 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 yes.
Your promise is still stand, though the world should pass away.
But you are God, say.
For you are God, all by yourself.
Your word is true.
Your word is true.
Your word is mighty.
Your word is mighty.
But you are God, say.
For you are God, all by yourself. Your promise is still said, though the world should pass away. You are God all by yourself.
Your word is true.
Your word is true.
Your word is mighty.
Your word is mighty.
Do you have those words now? I'll give you the next 5 minutes. You're going to speak like you're the only one in this room, because actually you're the only one here. You must contend with the things God has said to you. He did not give you those things to decorate your notes or to make you happy or to excite you. He said them because he meant them. And the day he said it, he gave it. Today is your receiving day. Lift your voice. Let me hear you speak those words that God has spoken to you. I won't interrupt you. I'll give you 5 minutes. Have your talking sessions. On top of your voice, you say what God has said to you. Go ahead and speak.
You said it gets better and better and better and better for me.
Just go ahead and speak. We'll still sing. Just speak.
Supernatural strength is mine by the word of the Lord. He said it gets better. I'm better, I'm better, I'm better from you. Supernatural strength is mine. Oh, by the word of the Lord.
We are going to rejoice with this one. Just speak those words.
He said he gets better. I'm better, I'm better, I'm better from you. Supernatural strength is mine. Oh, by the word of the Lord. He said he gets better and better and better and better from you. Supernatural strength is mine, yes, by the word of the Lord. He said he gets better and better and better and better from you. Supernatural flow is mine, yes, by the word of the Lord. He said he gets better and better and better and better from you. Supernatural health is mine. Oh, by the word of the Lord. He said he gets better and better and better and better from you. Supernatural wealth is mine. Oh, by the word of the Lord. He said he gets better and better and better and better from you. Supernatural strength is mine by the word of the Lord. You have 1 more minute to contend with the words God has spoken to you. They are not mere words. They are getting fulfilled. They are not mere words. Sow the seed. Sow God's word. Release God's word. Because the rain will come to water the ground. Make sure you have a seed in the ground when the rain comes. In Jesus' name we pray. You see, all the words you've spoken, I agree with you. And I say amen to those words. And the time you're expecting it, it even comes before then. For this week shall be for words fulfilled. Words fulfilled. Divine turnaround. Divine turnarounds, as God has said to you, as He has promised you. And as a church this week, we also see words fulfilled. All that God has said to us about this church, we see more and more fulfilled this week. Every new week for us will be a week to fulfill prophecies. Every new week will be a week to fulfill all God has said concerning us. We walk into divine fulfillments. I bring you into divine fulfillments in the name of Jesus. Where there was doubt, there is faith now. Where there was doubt, there is faith now. In the name of Jesus. Walk into abundance. Walk into health. Supernatural divine health. That which troubled your health in the past no longer exists now. The healing of Jesus goes through your body, setting you free, recreating what must be recreated. In the name of Jesus. And I heard the Lord say, you've waited, you will have it. You have waited, you will have it. You will not drop out of school. I don't know who this is, but you won't drop out of school. You won't. And whatever that is making that happen, angels are released by my words now to turn those situations around. In the name of Jesus, you won't drop out. That attack launched against your family will not stand. It will not see the light of the day. And over your house, I declare no loss. Over your house, I declare no loss. In the name of Jesus. Habadekosh. There are no mere words. No mere words here. No mere words. Every word come to pass. Yeah. That between now and December, all that God said about 2022
would have been exceeded by December. It would have been exceeded by December. In the name of Jesus. Some of you even know it will happen. You know it like you know your name. That it will happen. You know it. You know it. And you rejoice to that. You know it. You know it. Let's take that song. I've got strength. We dance to it. I've got strength by the word of the Lord. I've got peace by the word of his prophet. He said he gets better and better and better for me. Supernatural strength, wealth, health, life, provision is mine by the word of the Lord. We dance that. We have 3 minutes to do that. Woo! Make sure you rejoice. Bring it down. You know, I watched a Kenneth Higgins clip. I asked Brother Copeland in that clip, what will you do if you have the healing? So I want to ask you, what will you do if you have all you have asked for? Hey! Woo! Yes, 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 yes.
Supernatural strength is mine,
yes, 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 yes.
By the word of the Lord. Oh,
I've got strength in the word of the Lord.
Since yes, 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 happy,
I got peace by the words of his prophet.
He's telling us better.
He's telling us better and better and better and better for me.
Supernatural
strength is mine, oh, by the word of the Lord.
Supernatural
strength is mine, by the word of the Lord.
I've
got strength in the word of the Lord.
I've got peace.
I've got peace by the words of his prophet.
And Jesus said it's better.
He said it's better, 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 better for me.
Supernatural
strength is mine, by the word of the Lord.
I've
got strength in the word of the Lord.
I've
got peace by the word of his prophet.
I know
he's better. He's getting better and better and better and better for me. Supernatural strength is mine, by the word of the Lord.
I've
got strength in the word of the Lord.
I've
got peace by the word of his prophet.
I know he gets better.
He said he gets better and better and better and better for me.
Supernatural
strength is mine. The word of the Lord. I've got strength in the word of the Lord.
God. Walk up to seven persons, say to them, it's getting better and better and better and better. Make you seven persons, getting better and better and better and better and better for me. Go ahead, declare it. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Woo! Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Let me show you one scripture. Do you want to see the scripture? One scripture. Do you want to see the scripture? 2 Kings 13, verse 17. I'll close with that. Be on your feet. I'll tell you why you don't. Why? See here. How much we go in what God has said to you is in your hands. 13:17. Woo, glory. You see why I said you should walk up to seven persons. And you can make it 10. He said, Elisha said to him, open the wind, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. So Elisha said, shoot. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. He said unto the king of Israel, smite the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. He said, hit the ground. He hit it 1, 2, 3 and stopped. And the man of God was wroth, was angry with him and said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas thou shalt smite Syria only 3 times. Probably like NLT. Go back to 18. So the man said, pick up this arrow. Hit the earth. Go to 18. Quickly. Then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. So the king picked them up and struck the ground 3 times. But the man of God was angry with him. You should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times, he exclaimed. Then you would have beaten Aram once it was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only 3 times. So it's not about what God has decided. It's about what he did. When I say you should say you are blessed, you don't say it once. You don't say it 2 times. If I tell you to say it's getting better and better and better and better and better. Listen, if you stop at 14, you should have said it for like 30 times. If you did that, you should have said that. See, everybody wake up, sow the word. Don't strike once. Not even 3 times. Not even 6 times. Not even 30 times. Sow in the morning, strike in the afternoon, strike in the night, strike when you wake up. Supernatural strength is mine by the word of the Lord. Meet 4 more persons. Tell them it's getting better. I'm 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 better. Glory to God. Let me hear you give a shout.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.